Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us here on the program. Today we have a special guest in studio, as we do every Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. And her name is Betty Bird, and she is the author of two books. One is Trinity's Daughter, the other the latest work that she will be at a book signing tomorrow afternoon in Goleta, California, Utopia, Texas. And Betty, it's a pleasure to have you here on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm going to have you pull that down a little closer as we talk about not just your books, but also you have had an experience with a syndrome, if you will, and it is you describe it as sudden death syndrome. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about what you know of this syndrome, because it's a new term. I know of sudden death syndrome or sudden infant death syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Is this anything like that?
I would suspect, and I don't know, that it's quite similar. It's the same thing.
Okay.
They don't really know what causes it. However, there are some contributing factors, and let's see. One of them is a chemical imbalance in your system, which is what they think I had.
Okay.
And the other contributing factors are heart disease, which I don't have.
Okay. So we eliminate that one.
So they really don't know.
Okay. And how long ago did you have this experience?
I actually died and came back to life Friday, July 13th of last year.
Friday the 13th, 2007.
Yes.
Okay. 7-13-07. I'll get my numerologist working on that here. And yet, in spite of all of that, you continue the adventures, or as you like to phrase it, your Hemingway-esque escapades.
I do.
Traveling around, you took the train up here to Santa Barbara.
That was a Hemingway-esque experience.
Well,
in many ways.
We're going to talk a little bit about that, because part of what this program is about is sharing with people other people's lives in terms of their living out their dreams, the things that they really want to do, the places that they want to be, the things that they want to accomplish in their lives. And I'm curious as to whether you have done that throughout up to, let's say, and including July 13th, 2007. Have you fulfilled some dreams that you had up to this point?
I've actually really led 9 lives. I've fulfilled many dreams in my life, starting from I was an all-around athlete all the way through college,
mm-hmm.
and played many sports, went on to be a creative writing major and then a journalist back east. I've traveled extensively. Met many incredible people throughout the world. And I have. The latest adventure after I came back to life was, of course, going to Morocco, which is what I'd always wanted to do. And I've kept going.
Mm-hmm.
I've kept going.
And I would assume you have new dreams ahead of you.
I have new dreams. Some more writing is in store eventually. And more travel. I suppose if they don't make it impossible for us to travel, that's a whole nother ball game.
I figure as long as we have 2 feet at work and we can walk from one point to the other, they can't stop us from traveling.
That's right.
It'll take us a little longer to get from point A to point B, but we can still do it.
That's right.
Now, this sudden death syndrome, mm-hmm. When this happened on the 13th of July of last year, what were you doing at the time?
My husband had dropped me off at the coffee shop in town. We were on our way to Las Vegas, and he had gone around the corner to get the mail. And when he came back, I had dropped, this is what he's told me, I had dropped dead in the doorway. And there was a woman, actually, that saved my life. There happened to be a pediatric nurse who was giving me mouth-to-mouth or whatever they're supposed to do. I don't know.
CPR. Mm-hmm.
CPR. And after that point, the paramedics got there, and they got me in, and my husband, and oh, my whole family was home. So this was just a horrible event for them. And then Bill called them. They came, followed the ambulance, and they thought I was going to be DOA on arrival because they had no pulse when they put me into the
Ambulance.
Ambulance. Mm-hmm.
So you were taken to the hospital, and you were, I'm probably saying this incorrectly, you were not unconscious, you were dead for how long?
I really don't know. I want to say 3 minutes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, and they've come up with the various theories as to why this can happen, but obviously it happened to you.
It happened, and they did have a pulse by the time I reached the hospital.
Okay. What can you tell me about what you experienced in that time? Do you remember falling to the floor?
No. I've lost a week and a half, and it all started 2 days prior to the event, which my heart doctor says is not unusual in cases like this. I had actually been to a Pat Benatar concert for my birthday 2 days before the incident, and that's the last thing I remember.
Okay.
Is Pat Benatar.
I'm sure she appreciates the fact that
if she's listening, I remember you.
How has this experience not only affected you, but changed you?
I think that what it really brought to mind, number one, was my family first and foremost, and how much I love and adore them. And I don't know what I would do without them. And I always looked at a glass half full, and now I really do. Mm-hmm. You have to be grateful for every moment that you're here, because you do not know in a split second what is going to happen to you in this life. And it's made me more pensive in a way. I think I'm trying to figure out stuff more than I ever tried to figure out things before.
I was
more of a reactor.
Mm-hmm. So you have those profound questions milling around in your mind.
For the first time,
mm-hmm.
probably.
Like?
Where is my daughter going to put me when I'm old?
We kind of talked a little bit about,
I know,
not specifically about you, but about us collectively.
Are we going to get to the home, or what are we going to do?
Uh-huh.
I'm concerned about the world more than I ever have been. People need to get their priorities in order. The town where I live has become so nasty, from going to the post office to going to the store to competing for a parking place. For this, that, and everything else. And I just want to get out and say, stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop the world. I want to get off. And I just want people to be nice. Is that so hard?
Well, you're sitting next to someone, my wife, who feels basically the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the other questions that you now are pondering? And does it strike you as a little strange that all of a sudden now you're starting to ruminate over these kinds of questions, whereas in your earlier life with your wildcatting and your Hemingway-esque ways, they were never a part of your mindset?
Well, the reason they weren't is my mother was a schizophrenic, and I spent most of my life surviving. You had to think your way quick mm-hmm. out of things. So when you stay on survival mode most of your life, you can't ponder the world's problems. You're trying to get out from being beaten, being abused.
Mm-hmm.
So you live a different life.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about the different life that you lead today and some of the other questions that have come up in your mind and the minds of those of us here in studio as well. As we continue talking with Betty Bird, she is the author of Utopia, Texas, and she will be at a book signing this Sunday. That's tomorrow, out in Goleta at the marketplace in front of Barnes & Noble, while they have that wonderful farmer's market going on. And who knows, maybe we'll take a trip out there, see you out there.
Well, that'd be great.
Doing that. Stay tuned. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us here. Every Saturday at 3 p.m., we open up the airwaves, as it were, here on this program and encourage you to tune in. And we encourage you also, if you're not able to listen to us on the AM band at AM 1290, the internet is also available to you. We stream live. Go to richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. I also have a blog that I introduced last week. I'm kind of excited about that, and we certainly hope that you'll take advantage of that and maybe leave a little comment or two about today's program or the programs that you hear about. Maybe you have some ideas for future programs, which we might consider in 2009. I'm booked all the way up into January of next year, which is kind of exciting with a lot of folks who are going to be talking about a lot of wonderful, wonderful ideas. Today, the great ideas we're talking about today come from Betty Bird, and she is an author. She is the term oil baroness correct?
I suppose. I suppose.
You'll accept it.
I'll accept that. Okay. You get heiress. You get all sorts of things like that. I'm just a person. A person.
And you've had some you have raced. You have been a part of or participated in some fashion in the Iditarod dog sled races. You've worked in Hollywood and motion pictures, television, commercials, those types of things.
Yes.
Obviously, now you're an author, and that's just a few of the items. They can go to your website, which is BettyBird.com. That's B-Y-R-D, BettyBird.com, and they can read all about. You see some incredible pictures too, by the way. And again,
Thank
my
you.
Favorite is the one of the bougainvillea with the tiny little door.
I know.
Because we're looking at growing one like that in our yard too. So tell me a little bit about some of now you say you lost a week's memory. That's got to be driving you nuts.
It did.
It did. It doesn't anymore.
I'm beginning to think now that if I remembered it, it would be my demise again. Maybe I don't want to remember it.
You never thought about maybe going to a hypnotist, hypnotherapy, that type of thing?
No. Because when I died, I had tachycardia, and my heartbeat raced up to 300 beats a minute.
Wow.
So that must have been a pretty powerful moment, and I don't think now I want to remember that.
Mm. So mm-hmm. You ponder these wonderful questions now that didn't come to the forefront at the time before this incident happened. And in terms of a spiritual life, because that's one of the areas that we deal with a great deal on this program.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you in that context? How has that changed for you?
Well, if I may go back again to my mother, who was paranoid, schizophrenic, and a religious fanatic, the spoke of that wheel for me was missing. Spirituality, she was such a fanatic that it drove me way against religion. But since I have passed away and come back, I now go to church more often.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is a higher power that brought me around, which I'm very grateful. I keep saying I'm grateful, but mm-hmm. I really am grateful to be alive.
Well, absolutely.
And so I feel like I try to be a kinder person than I have been in the past. And I just want to give to my family and be around my family. I love them dearly.
So you've done all of these different things, these different various experiences, activities,
mm-hmm.
you know, the different types of work
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any one that just brought you the most happiness or joy before that you'd say, you know, I might want to go back and do that again? Or is there something that you haven't done yet that you want to do?
I'm usually not the type of person to go back and do something again. I don't even like to travel to the same place. So I haven't figured out what I want to do now. Writing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as an adventure, I don't have any idea. At one time I wanted to travel with a gypsy camp, but I think that's a little
a circus maybe?
Yeah. If you could get those special stories, but I think it would be very hard to get them.
Now, your book, Utopia, Texas, is basically autobiographical, but it's not exactly fact, per se. I mean, what I mean by that is it is your story, but it is a story.
Well, the autobiographical part is true,
mm-hmm.
and the novel part is false.
Okay.
So I would say 3/4 of this book is true.
Okay.
The characters are real. What the characters do are for real. Some of the settings had to be changed in order for the book to work.
What made you consider and pursue writing at this particular point?
I had been a creative writing major in college and a theater minor. And out of college, I became a journalist in Ohio. I was offered a great job. And so I'd always loved writing, but then I was torn between the world of acting and writing, as so many people are. And then I pursued, I dropped it for a while. I dropped the journalism for a while. And then I went into acting. And then I had a back injury that affected my career in acting. And I went back to writing and started my first novel, Trinity's Daughter, which actually has been in the works for 26 years. I finally put it out, you know, within 10 years ago.
So that was a long time writing. Some people never write their books.
Well, this was autobiographical, and I had written it with so much hate toward my family that I realized I can't make the opinion up for somebody else. The story has to be written non-judgmentally, and that's what I had to. I had to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
When I grew up, I could write the facts, tell the story, and not blame anyone for their life. You know, that's what I did.
And so now you're going to be out in Goleta at the marketplace signing copies of your book, Utopia, Texas, out at the Farmer's Market tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. And if people would like to come out and meet you, they certainly can do so. Purchase a copy of your book, have you sign it. That would be kind of a neat thing to do. And maybe nosh on some of those organic vegetables and fruits that are out there as well. Because those farmers markets are really wonderful. When you, and we're going to take a break here in just a moment, and I'll have you kind of think about this, but when you were in the process of, you say the first book, mm-hmm. which is Trinity's Daughter,
mm-hmm.
26 years, so to speak, in the making.
Mm-hmm.
How long after that was the Utopia, Texas book? The sequel, if you will, or part two, is it?
Mm-hmm. I actually started the sequel at the end of Trinity's Daughter, so it didn't take as much time. Again, mm-hmm. I had grown up, and I could look at everyone as they really were.
But this is the end of that particular
book. This is the end.
The
book will show you that this is the end.
Okay. Well, this is the end of this segment.
Okay.
And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Betty Bird and talk more about Utopia, Texas, and some other subjects that will come to mind as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. Why don't you check out richarddugan.com and check out the schedule for upcoming programs, and maybe drop us a line on the blog. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan in studio with Betty Bird, the author of Utopia, Texas. She'll be at the marketplace in Goleta, and there will be a farmer's market going on as well. She'll be in front of Borders at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Hope you'll make a trip out there. Make a trip to richarddugan.com and check out the blog, check out the schedule, and the interview that we're doing now will be available up online following this program. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay right where you are. Tell me your story. That's the question that we ask, the statement that we put forth. New paradigms for a new world, choices and knowledge of those choices to help you fulfill your dreams. And we certainly hope that through Betty's explanations and her experiences, you realize that unless you flat out stop living and you come back to life like Betty did, and you can move on and continue to have all kinds of experiences and fulfill all kinds of dreams. It's a pleasure to have you here in studio with us today.
Thank you.
Talking about all these different things. I understand. I kind of feel the same way you do about repeating things in one sense. I used to bicycle everywhere, and I always hated if I forgot something at home and I had to go back to the house, get it, and then cover that same distance before I could get to the point where I turned around and, okay, now I'm on the new journey, now that I've done the turnaround, and I always was very frustrated by that.
So you understand where I'm coming from.
I can perfectly relate, absolutely. So the experiences that you had in your, we'll call it your previous life, and you talked about living nine lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in essence, that is very, very true, and some of us don't always get that opportunity.
I know. I don't know why I was so blessed, really. I'm still going. So
well,
there must be something else I'm here for.
Well, you and my wife were sort of comparing hardware that you carry with you.
Yes.
And I made the comment that the two of you are fine. I'm the one that's in trouble.
Yes, you are.
I have no hardware. But it's and you've been married for how many years?
22.
Okay. And when this happened to you, obviously freaked Bill out beyond belief.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He doesn't let me go in a coffee shop by myself. Especially the one where it happened where we lived. Mm-hmm. So he won't let me go in there alone.
And the chances of this happening again are, do you any idea?
I think if I didn't behave myself, there's always that chance. But my potassium was extremely low, and I had been on Claritin for 3 years straight. And they think it was a chemical imbalance in my system with the low potassium and the Claritin that caused this. So I'm not allowed anything. I'm not allowed caffeine, mm-hmm. no hard liquor.
They've taken all the fun out of your
I know. I told the heart doctor, just stab me right now. You take this Hemingway-esque gal and you cut out all her fun. That's okay. I love, you know, being alive, and you do what you have to do. You don't need all that stuff anyway.
Do you find yourself drawn more to books and television programs, documentaries, things of this nature that are more geared towards the spiritual side of life because of this experience? Because of the questions that are ruminating?
I still just like high adventure. And I should get more spiritual. Again, I must still really fight it from my upbringing. But I believe in God. Again, I believe in a higher power, and I believe in being a good individual. I try to walk the walk and talk the talk. And I do go to church a little more now. So I'm working my way up.
Mm-hmm. What about the people around you? Have they noticed any change in you at all since this experience?
I don't know. I think people tend to go on with their lives instead of really studying you that much. If they have studied me, they haven't told me. Maybe I don't want to know what they think of me now. But I don't know what they think. I know, don't you find, you know, people, they're not going to sit and just say, gosh, Richard, you're just a whole new person today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People are self-absorbed.
And you find yourself being less in that category? You find yourself being more observant, if you will, of the world around you?
Yes.
If there were one thing that you would want to change from that experience, would you have... I mean, you said before, obviously, that it happened for a reason. You wouldn't change that experience at this point in your life?
I must have needed it for some reason.
Maybe a slap in the back of the head with a 2x4
yeah.
kind of experience?
Maybe. I've always had to learn the hard way.
I think we all tend to say that, don't we?
I know.
So now you're traveling and you're on a book tour of sorts?
Yes.
And where do you go from here?
I go back home.
Which is?
In San Diego.
San Diego.
Mm-hmm. And I have I'm very excited. Next Friday I'll be on KUSI on the morning show. And then I have hard to keep up. Publicist aims me, you know, in the right direction. but I'm going to La Mesa, and I'm doing a fundraiser for Barnes & Noble there for Friends of the Lemon Grove Library. And then in September, I've got a book signing in Long Beach at Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what after that. I haven't been appraised yet.
Are there any particular causes that you are involved in these days?
Not these days, but in the past, I was in an organization called National Charity League.
Mm-hmm.
And for 6 years, I drove from Meals on Wheels, nonstop, Salvation Army at Christmas time. We did so much. My main one was Meals on Wheels.
So you were very much part of the community in which you lived. You were very mm-hmm. much giving of yourself, as it were, to the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a little perplexing as far as some people would say an experience such as you had, the sudden death syndrome, as you describe it, as sort of the word that comes to my mind is wake-up call. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound to me an awful lot like you needed a wake-up call. You seemed like you were in service to folks around you.
I think I was a fooler to a lot of people. So I've been in service to other people, but maybe, you know, not enough service to myself. to just pay, not in a selfish way, mm-hmm. but just to pay attention to my needs and how to be a nicer person. I'm sorry, I think I've always been a selfish person, even though I gave. I know that sounds crazy.
Well, there is a difference between meeting one's needs and being selfish. And you felt like you were not meeting your needs and you were being selfish at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. And that obviously has shifted a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe more than just a little bit.
I'm working on this shift. Because it hasn't been that long ago, really.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and you're always fearful it may happen again, but like I said, if I take care of myself, I should be fine. You can't dwell on that either.
Right. And just out of curiosity, you had this experience and understanding that there is that week and a half or so of memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
Does the prospect, because we all, at least at present, we all face that moment of transition and it will be permanent. We won't be coming back. Do you think about that much? I'm not talking about who's going to take care of me when I'm needing to be taken care of before. I'm talking about that experience of actually making that transition.
I've thought about it many times. My grandmother died in my arms, actually, and I watched her die. And it looked like a very positive experience. She looked up at the sky, and it was as though she saw people that she knew. There was a peace that came across her face. And from that moment on, I haven't been afraid to die. So when it happens, I guess it happens.
And you're ready for it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you've got a lot to do.
I guess so. He's kept me here for a reason. Evidently, I wasn't ready then.
So you obviously have plans to continue to promote this particular series, these two books, in terms of your autobiographical work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got some other books that are in the works as well.
I'm considering a thriller. That might be my next step, and CSI School, Forensic Studies. I'm going to have to because I have a body in a lake, and I don't know what to do with it.
You have a body in a lake.
I have a body in a lake, and I don't know how to deal with that, so I've got to go to school.
Well, what little I know about CSI work, when you mix water with your evidence, it does tend to mess it up a little. What little I know from watching CSI.
That's right. So that could be my next adventure.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Flying, scuba diving, jumping out of airplanes, things like that. I mean, that's pretty high adventure, too.
That is, too. Yeah. No. I never wanted to jump out of a plane.
Well, as a good friend of mine once said, why would you want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
That's right.
You know, because I want to feel the wind rushing past my ears at 120 miles an hour.
There are those people that do.
So when you sit down at what I've heard is phrased, your lonely writer's garret, does it just kind of flow out of you, the words, the concepts, the ideas, onto the page?
Oh, it depends.
Or computer?
It depends on the day. There are some days I've sat at my computer 6 hours and maybe written two or three sentences. And often it was a transition point. And there are times, in Tahiti, I wrote one chapter of Trinity's Daughter in a monsoon up in our hut. And I had nowhere to go, so I finished the chapter in 4 days.
Oh, nice.
In this hut. So it just depends. Depends. Sometimes your brain can go. It depends on probably what you did the night before, too. You know, some days it flows and some days it doesn't.
Tell me about your...
You don't know where you're going, too.
Well, that's another thing, too, is since you don't know where you're going, that's an adventure in and of itself, isn't it?
It is. You have to know and find out where you're going, and I'll make notes ahead of myself for that.
Leaving the breadcrumbs, as it were.
Trail for myself to follow.
But it's forward, not backward.
It's forward, not notice. I'm going forward.
Yeah. So how was it... Your acting career, what was that like for you? I mean, you look back on that. Is that something that you really had a good time with?
I did. I did. I had a great time. I'm grateful I even worked in that industry. So I started out on Gunsmoke when I was in college, and I was a saloon woman, one of Miss Kitty's saloon women. I was on the last four episodes.
Oh, okay.
Of that. And that was filmed in Old Tucson, so mm-hmm. it was a non-Hollywoody experience.
Mm-hmm. Very dusty.
Very dusty, very real. It was fun. And then I continued on and did a lot of commercials and had a speaking role in a motion picture, but it wasn't released. But it's been released someplace. I think some shaky bed and you know, in the back in
Duluth.
In Duluth, 'cause I still get a little residual off of that.
It's
so it's going somewhere. And I met wonderful people. Wonderful people. And yes, it's filled with heartache. But any creative art is. You just have to be prepared and know that and follow your craft and follow what you love. Just blow through it as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And know that the odds are slim of getting anything. I'm sorry, but it's the way it is. I want to be more positive.
Right. Do you, what are some of the things that you do just to have fun now, to just to enjoy yourself, to give to self?
Well, travel. I love to travel. I haven't had a lot of downtime lately, so this is one right mm-hmm. now. Read. I have my German Shepherd who keeps me quite busy. He actually was gotten for me right after I died. And that dog has been a big inspiration in my life.
We were talking about animals before we went mm-hmm. on the air and mm-hmm. how important they are to you.
Mm-hmm. I love animals.
What role, from your perspective, what role do animals play in our lives as you would describe it?
Unconventional love. They love you, no matter what you are,
you have
which we can take advantage of, mm-hmm. which is terrible.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a lot of pets in your life?
Through my entire life, yeah. Lots of dogs.
Never wanted to be without.
Never wanted to be without. I'd love cats, too, but I'm allergic.
Oh.
But I love them. And I grew up with a deer.
Yeah, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
I had a
happen?
Pet deer. Well, my grandparents had a ranch in Utopia, Texas. And my grandfather killed the mother and found the fawn in the bushes and brought the fawn back to me as a present as a little girl.
Hmm.
And Sandy and I grew up a little bit together.
And you released Sandy into the woods after a period of time, or she stayed with you until her passing?
She did not stay with me. We moved to Oklahoma, and we would have had to bring her, keep her on a tennis court, which wouldn't have been a very good idea. She went on to have twin fawns on the ranch, and then she passed away there.
As we get ready for our last break here, I was just curious, you know, you've talked an awful lot about, of course, as we've discussed the books, the Trinity's Daughter, and, of course, your latest work, Utopia, Texas. And every time I hear Utopia, I think of the sci-fi show Eureka and that kind of town. You say that even, and I know you live in San Diego now.
Mm-hmm.
But you grew up in Utopia, Texas. Were the people back then when you were growing up, they were all friendly and everybody knew everybody's business kind of thing and kind of watched out for one another? Or?
Well, I actually grew up in Oklahoma City and our ranch was in Utopia.
Okay.
And I was quite small. The town is still quite small. In fact, I looked it up on the Internet and one of the highlights of Utopia, Texas is watching millions of bats fly at sunset. There's a sunset bat flight. Now, that's one thing I haven't experienced. You're not laughing, Richard.
Well, no, because we have a Turkey airport that opens up just after sunset because we have wild turkeys on our property, and they get up on the high hill, and they take off, and they fly into the trees. And I remember the first time I saw that, I thought, I didn't think turkeys could fly. Well, they can fly, but not very far and not very fast. So that's why I wasn't laughing. I think that would be... Well, we've been sitting on our porch. Amrita and I, we've been sitting on our porch or out in the yard, and she will see a bat fly across from one tree to another.
Oh, wow.
By the time I look up to see it, it's gone, but I have seen them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that would... That, as long as you're a safe distance away to where, you know, they're not going to swarm around you, kind of like a swarm of bees or something, that would be fine. That
right.
would be a very interesting experience.
Well, that's one of the highlights of Utopia, Texas right now. So the town evidently has not changed that much.
But, you know, if a group of people in a small town can get excitement out of something of nature like that, that's, to me, that's really unique and special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as opposed to... I have to say that man is in a sad state when he is drawn into a car dealership by balloons and bright, shiny, flashing, little twinkling metal strips or something.
Mm-hmm. When
know,
nature...
Or a giant inflated gorilla in the parking lot. That's not saying a lot, but I'll sit and watch a flight of bats. I mean, we've seen squirrels run across the road. You know, it's not so much, well, why did the squirrel cross the road? It's interesting to watch their behavior,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that they're willing to come this close,
mm-hmm.
you know, that type of
thing.
Means
they're untouched. Nobody's harmed them if they can come close to you.
Amrita has a blue jay. We've named her Billy, who will fly down, land on her hand, and eat the bird seed right out of her hand.
Oh, my.
And this is before we head off to work in the morning, almost every
oh,
morning.
Oh, my goodness.
It's astounding.
That's incredible.
So, you know, your experience with this deer, and you were able to get right up to the deer and pet her and care for her and love her and feed her?
Mm-hmm. Out of a baby bottle.
That's cool.
That is very cool.
That was my first pet.
Neat.
So I was always drawn to a more unusual pet. You know, so I held the Bengal tiger, and I like these.
We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back.
Yeah.
I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. This is Animal Farm, and we're going to be closing the gates because it's getting a little dangerous. Bengal tigers. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Check out RichardDugan.com. The radio show is listed there, the archives, and stay with us. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. This is a program designed to bring you new paradigms for a new world. We're trying to create a new world. The world that you want to live in. And I'm curious, Betty Bird, what kind of world do you want to live in?
I want to live, at the risk of sounding like Pollyanna.
We accept that here.
Do you accept that here?
Absolutely. Because it's the world you want to live in.
A kinder place. Where friends truly care about friends for who they are, not for what you have. I just want people to be true to one another, and that's the main focus I have.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you're going to be a friend to someone, why can't they? Why is there an agenda? I always feel like sometimes there's a hidden agenda with people.
If I didn't know any better, I would swear we would need a small little campfire lit right between us all here. And I mean, that's kind of the conversation that we're having here on the program. And that's where we come from, is just wanting to get together, have gatherings, just to share our thoughts and our ideas and our feelings. And that's the agenda,
mm-hmm.
is to share our thoughts and ideals and feelings. And that's part of what community is about, what we are promoting through this program with the various guests that we have on.
Well, I'm upset that we've gone so technological, and I know it has to go that way. But between the blackberries, the blueberries, I call them, all of this stuff we have, we are losing contact with one another, the text messaging and all that.
Mm-hmm.
In one of my speeches, I had studied where the air conditioner is what brought people inside, actually. They used to meet on the veranda and have coffee and tea and talk. And although air conditioning was a good thing, it was one of the first things to remove us from interacting with people. And it just appears to me through the years that we have gradually removed ourselves more and more from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we're going to survive, we can't do this. I don't know what the answer is, but...
We are not islands.
No.
And we can't be.
No.
Now, we enjoy our, I'll call it seclusion, where we live, because it's kind of nice. We're back up in the woods there with our chickens and dogs and cats and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we've made some very good friends here in Santa Barbara and through this radio program, you and your husband and Kat and some of the other folks that we know. And I wouldn't want to lose that. Not for the sake of isolation. I think that's the difference. There's a difference between seclusion and isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are starting to seek isolation.
I agree.
Then that doesn't help the community.
No, it doesn't. Because everything is being brought into the home. You'll be working from home.
Yeah.
Completely. So, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, we're looking for that answer, and we will continue to do so, and it will be through the folks such as yourself who bring us new ideas and new concepts to the table and let folks choose and pick and take what they want and leave the rest and again, make the choices that will make a better world, a new world for themselves and their families and their community, and maybe on a grander scale, their state, nation, and world. And we can achieve a more harmonious. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that we're always going to get along 100% of the time, but we certainly don't have to go to battle.
No.
There are other ways of resolving our differences.
And not being, oh boy, I'm probably going to get in trouble here.
Go ahead.
But I truthfully believe being politically correct has ruined us.
Okay.
No one speaks their mind anymore. Again, you don't have to battle, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're not feeling right about something, no, I don't feel right about something. Don't brush it over.
Right. I think that a lot of folks have done things in their lives, and I'm curious if you have ever... been made to do something you really didn't want to do, but you did it anyway. You came out unscathed, but you still didn't want to do it up front.
Mm-hmm.
And you were sort of kind of pushed and pushed and pushed until push came to shove and you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You've had those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably why I don't like them. That's why I don't like them.
But then there are those who had that happen soon. They end up getting hurt. And the person who pushed still doesn't realize that you know, they push this person into something they didn't want to do.
Right. So there is a fine line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a pleasure having you on the program today, and I certainly will encourage folks to get out to the marketplace out in Goleta. And it is at the Barnes & Noble at the Farmer's Market tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock. And they can meet you and have a signed copy of your book, Utopia, Texas, which is that's the town where your ranch was.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So I've got the geography fairly mapped out.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're off the rest of the afternoon, and folks will see you there, and then you'll be off to your next book signing and gathering and what have you.
Yeah.
You give a lot of speeches?
I have in the past.
And what's been the main focus of some of the talks that you've given?
Again, I did them for on the book.
Mm-hmm. Primarily.
Primarily. I would talk about schizophrenia. And some of the things we've talked about today as far as being kinder individuals.
Well, we certainly hope that folks have heard your words and will certainly work towards a kinder, and if I can be so presumptuous, because when you said that, all I could think of was a kinder and gentler nation.
That's all right.
Oh, yes, well, but I digress. I just want to thank you again for joining us on our program and hope that you enjoy your stay here in Santa Barbara, and hopefully we'll have you back again to talk further.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much.
And,
it's been a pleasure.
And I certainly hope that, on the one hand, you don't ever have that experience again of a year ago. I know Bill feels the same way.
Absolutely.
Bill feels the same way. Again, yeah. Thank you very much. Again, the book is entitled Utopia, Texas, and it is available at your local bookstore. It'll be available for those of you here on the Central Coast at the Barnes & Noble. That is the Barnes & Noble in the Marketplace Shopping Center, where the Farmer's Market will be going on at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Sunday, the 17th
Absolutely.
Of
yeah.
August.
Yeah.
I'm starting to lose track of days. Well, next week we have an interesting program because we're going to sort of dive into the subject with the founder of an organization called Toward the Light. Juliet Nightingale will be joining us, and we'll be talking about related subjects to near-death experiences. Maybe I'll ask her if she can help us to define sudden death syndrome versus near-death experiences versus out-of-body experiences, transition, spiritually
right.
Transitioning types of experiences, and get more information from her on that. So we'll have
That'd
you
be
tune
great.
In.
Okay, I'll tune in.
You can listen here on AM 1290, or you can go to the internet, and you can listen live from richarddugan.com. Just click on the link. Check out the blog, send me an email, and check out the interviews. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you so much for joining us here on this Saturday afternoon. This has been Tell Me Your Story. Love to Law.
Talk with me.